I thought you said you had two mutes or something the other day.
I did. But this now seems to be something entirely unrelated to that. You know how the little window pops up?
No.
You may not have the new version.
This week on Dueling Review, we take a look at Real Science Adventures Flying She-Devils number 3. Horse feathers! Those pirates of Mad Jacks have cornered the Flying She-Devils! How are they going to get out of this one? Gee willikers! Meanwhile, would the Sparrow save the day for the Allies? I hope so. Flying She-Devils number 3, out this week from IDW Publishing.
You have to say it like it's a 40s serial.
Yeah. The Flying She-Devil.
Well, it's actually late 40s, early 50s.
No, this is definitely.
Well, late 40s, early 50s, because it's after World War II.
No, this is the 40s.
1940. Nah, Dateline, the South Pacific, 1949, The Flying She-Devils.
I'm telling you, we should do it.
No, I mean, I'm just saying that's when the story takes place.
What makes you say because
it's post World War II.
Because it actually says in the wake of World War II in the actual story. You believe what's in the story?
I believe the continuity that the writer has created. So yes, Brian Clevenger writing this book again.
You can't trust that guy. I saw one page where Atomic Robo appeared 4 times. I mean, if they make that kind of continuity mistake,
Atomic Robo doesn't appear in this book.
No. But there was that one story where all of a sudden there were 4 of him on panel. Now, granted.
Oh, no, that was good. That was that was Color Out of Space. That was the Lovecraftian tale that they were telling, where he actually did multiple versions of him throughout time, rip through the time space continuum and have to figure out how to deal with the monstrosity. Yeah, that was a great story. That was a great story. But this one is I don't know if you go over to the realscienceadventures.com website, because that's where this has all been serialized previously. But you can get caught up on this really, really quickly with what's going on. So for those people coming in late, the She-Devils are looking for ways to expand their reach in the South Pacific so that they can get supplies, etc. And they come up with this brilliant plan to steal this long-range plane from Mad Jack and the warmongers, or whatever that his group is called.
Is that a B-17 or a B-29?
Yeah, it's a seaplane, so it's not a B-17, but
it's a C-150.
It is a big plane.
It's a C-3PO.
Do everything that they want it to do, but at the end of the last issue, they kind of didn't escape as quietly as they thought they would, and they didn't blow up all the planes that they thought they would, and so Mad Jack is chasing them. And so here we get the first part of what will be a very interesting aerial fight.
Well, they don't have enough fuel for an aerial fight, so they're having
to I'm not going to spoil the ending for you, but you can go find it at realscienceadventures.com.
What?
But, it is a really cool, space battle air battle that's happening here.
Pew, 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 pew.
And this is just the tip of the iceberg that you're getting in here. And of course, they picked up these, Tongan, women who are being held by these pirates, and, they have been making up this gasoline hooch thing. I don't know if it's gasoline you can drink, but they keep calling it gasoline hooch.
It's gasoline that's been cut with some sort of moonshine.
Yeah. And
which makes it go further, but also burn faster.
The women also join in the fight by learning how to shoot guns and stuff. So this is a middle issue. So if you're not really familiar what's come on before in the first two issues, I think you do get a little lost. But I think if you're a fan of the Flying She-Devils, which have been serialized in a couple of different stories over the years, this is still a lot of fun, and you start to see some character development from previous books and adventures. So for me, I enjoyed the story, but I will also say that I didn't jump into the middle. I went and read issues 1 and 2, then read 3, and then of course read 4, the rest of it there online.
Yeah, I jumped right into the middle of it.
Yeah, no, and that's fine.
Yeah, and it's not impossible to jump into. I think one major complaint I have is that I don't think everybody who is a named person on the crew actually gets named in the issue. But again,
no.
When it's serialized online and then repackaged into an issue, sometimes that will happen. So I can kind of, I think I can forgive that just because of the excitement involved.
Right.
I like the story. I really kind of like the art.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a different artist. This is not.
They have the Tongan women in the back yelling, good.
Yeah. And chaka, chaka, chaka. Yeah, this is a different artist. Lou Baker is the artist on this series. It's not Scott Wegner, who normally does Atomic Robo stuff. But the art, I thought was fine. I thought it was good and in line with what we've seen before. So I think it works in this context and setting. The backup story, the Sparrow story, that art is by Wegner, who also does the cover, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he didn't do the Sparrow story. There's no art by page on that.
There's no credits in the credit.
Yeah, so I didn't see that, but I'm assuming just the style kind of looks like his. I'm sure I'm going to get a correction because I know people.
Well, the
are
cover
listening.
Says Clevenger, Baker, Clark, and Clark.
Right.
So let's see, art and letters.
I know,
on Flying She Devils.
I know Wegner did the cover.
The Sparrow was done by Wookjin Clark.
Okay, well there you go. Yep. But that's more in line with what we've seen over the last couple of years with Atomic Robo. So
yeah,
this is an interesting story.
I feel like the Sparrow story was harder to approach from the picking up issue 3 for the first time story.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the character. I like the voice. And in my head, she talks like Haley Atwell.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, there's definite influences of that. I'm okay, I guess. When it comes to period piece type stories, I feel like there are times when the cultural zeitgeist, the general thought process, locks on a certain time frame. And since about 2000, I'm going to say 9, 10, we've been seeing a lot of Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not necessarily the fault of this story, but I'm a little Nazied out. But I really felt like this one was kind of neat, and it was interesting, and it started in a weird place, and it cut out in a weird place, which, again, I think is just the nature of that syndicated online thing.
Well, the online is broken up into chapters, and which right. are the issue breaks. So that's right. all there. So that's not a huge issue.
Oh, well, then this one cuts in a weird place.
Yeah, it cuts. If you read the next issue, it cut in the mm-hmm. perfect place, because issue 4 is going to be just this incredible fight with, you know, guns and people swinging on ropes and chains and harpoons and all this kind of stuff. But this, I think, is the good setup for that aerial battle. I think there are still, I think the biggest problem with this overall story is that the conflict, the reason for going to steal this plane is not, I mean, I know it's set up, but I don't think it's stressed enough how bad the situation is for the Flying She-Devils, which right. puts them into this situation.
So how many She-Devils are there?
There's a whole island of them. No, there's a whole island of them.
This issue, there's 4.
Yes, because the captain, the one with the eye patch,
right.
They kind of figured that this was going to be a suicide mission, that, you know, Mad Jack and his pirates are like the worst of the worst, and they terrorize everyone. And they knew that if they were going in to try to steal this plane, that it was probably going to result in a lot of people's deaths. So they only took 4 volunteers. So it's the captain, the Russian, and then I forget who the other 2 are that volunteered. The big girl. And then the smart girl
who does all the maths.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're the 4 that did it. And then when they got to the island, that's where they found these captive Tongan women who were making up the gasoline. So they took them along as well. And then they blew up a bunch of planes, but not enough. And they didn't get off in time before the pirates woke up and started right. this mad chase.
See, they never say she's Russian, but it's clear from her speech bubbles that mm-hmm. English is being done as her second language.
Right, right.
And you don't notice it at first, but by the end of the issue, it's clear. And in my head, I'm hearing her speak with an accent. I'm thinking, you know, maybe kind of a Chinese kind of accent, mm-hmm. the way she's talking. But I can definitely see that, too.
Yeah.
Nothing to cheer until they shot down is the place where I'm like, wait. Oh, she doesn't conjugate well. This is her second language.
Right. So for me, Real Science Adventures, The Flying She-Devils number 3, it's a It's a middle arc. It is something that any middle arc issue that you find from any publisher is going to be hard to jump into the middle of the action and know what's going on. I don't think that this is going to be for everyone, but if you are a fan of Atomic Robo and the Real Science Adventures and the She-Devils and Action Scientists and all that stuff, you've probably been reading this. And the first two issues make a lot more sense leading into this. And so I would say if you are into that bent, then go pick it up. If you like strong women fighting in the World War II setting and high-flying adventures with pirates, then I think you will probably enjoy this as well. But I think for the general audience, that's going to be a little bit harder for people to get into. So this may be a pass for a lot of people, but I really enjoyed it, and I'm giving it a thumbs up.
Yeah, this is definitely not the ideal place to walk in. Having never read, I think, either of these, or not recalling having read either of these properties before.
I think we've read, we read Flying She-Devils of the Pacific in a major spoilers trade paperback review like a long time ago.
I may have been sick that day. But I will say this. I have long believed, as you know, I did when I was a kid, if you're picking up a middle issue, you should be able to get some idea of whether this is entirely your bag. And I feel like there's a lot to like here. And it doesn't feel like entirely alien. You've walked into the middle of a joke being told by a toddler in French, which is good. I feel like the first story is more successful in kind of grabbing you and making you wonder, hey, what happened in one and two? But both stories are interesting. And I think the big question for me would be, if I were just some guy walking around a comic shop and where I'm going to buy it, I would say, first of all, there's a cat on my head. And second of all, I'd be interested in this. I don't know if is this a $3.99 book?
$3.99, yeah. Or like I said, you can get it for free by going to atomicrobo.com. Now,
right.
I'm not sure IDW would be happy about that. But, you know, to get this into print is a big deal.
Right.
But if people are looking at that price tag, they can get it for free.
Well, and, you know, if you want to support independent people, the people who are making stories that aren't, hey, you remember that guy that everybody loves who's the ultimate awesome number one super guy? Yeah, he's totally a Nazi now. If you're trying to avoid that, I feel like paying $3.99 to make sure that Clevenger and company can keep making cool stories where they don't screw you over like that is a good thing. So at $3.99, yeah, I think I would be interested in either or both of these stories. So
yeah,
the price
definitely.
Point doesn't throw me. I was thinking it was going to be a $4.99 book.
Oh, something. No. And you're getting two stories here, two stories for the price of one. So that's a good deal as well.
Two for the price of one.
All right. That is the Flying She-Devils number three from IDW
number
Publishing.
Three.
Coming next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Briggs Land, Lone Wolves number one. We also have Fate Zero gets a trade paperback. That's the fifth volume of that. Neil Gaiman's American Gods Shadows number four and Tomb Raider Archives hardcover volume two all arrive from Dark Horse Comics. Over at DC Comics, we have Action Comics number 981, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 11, Dark Days The Forge number 1. I've been looking at some previews of that. Looks rather interesting. Detective Comics 958, Flash number 24, Nightwing's trade paperback volume 2, Back to Bloodhaven. That's a rebirth volume. That's a rebirth story. Superwoman number 11 and Titans number 12 all arrive next week. IDW Publishing has 24 Legacy. Rules of Engagement number 2. That series was canceled this week by Fox. So you're going to have to get it in comic book form. Back to the Future number 20 arrives. Donald Duck 21. Jack Kirby Forever People's Artist Edition hardcover. Now, that's a $125 book. But if you want to see some really cool black and white Jack Kirby stuff, that's where you're going to want to dive into that book.
You do.
You really
do. Absolutely do. Kirby stuff is amazing, especially pre-1980s Kirby, because it's like watching him write the rules of comics.
Yep. Image Comics has Copperhead number 14, Green Valley number 9, Rose number 3, and Sons of the Devil number 13. Oh, and this one looks interesting. Winnebago Graveyard number 1. Yeah.
What?
I think it has zombies in it.
Well, sure. That fourth Romero movie, what was it, Land of the Living Dead?
Yeah.
Totally had a Winnebago in it.
Marvel Comics, Matthew, has Ben Reilly, Scarlet Spider number 3. I know you'll want to be picking that up. Black Panther Crew number 3.
I have been following that one off and on.
Good. Let's see. Kingpin number 5 arrives, as does Hulk number 7. Spider-Man, Brand New Day, the Complete Collection Trade Paperback Volume 3, which makes me question if it's really the Complete Collection because it's a third volume.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Well, it's a Complete Collection when you get all 10 volumes.
Oh, okay. From Time Life Books.
Then you'll exactly buy the book.
Thanos number 8, Weapon X number 4 all arrive next week. Oh, there's also Zombies Assemble number 3 of 4.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That was a scary, scary book. I reviewed Zombies Assemble number 1 and did not expect to be frightened. And holy.
Oh, it scares you. That's good.
Yeah.
But is it still the same? Is it still like Marvel Zombies?
No, it's actually good. No, that's not. I shouldn't be mean. The first two volumes of Marvel Zombies are freaking phenomenal. Basically, what it is, it's the movie Avengers done manga style with zombies.
I see.
And it's kind of like that point where you're like, hey, would you like a kimchi cupcake with pork frosting? And you're like, no, I don't want that. And then they hand it to you and it's amazing. It's like that.
Okay.
So put that on the back of the book, Marvel.
Yeah.
Zombies Assemble is a kimchi cupcake with pork frosting.
In all the rest category, we have America Rati number 4.
America Karate.
Catalyst Prime A-Cell number 1.
That's a lot of words that aren't actually words.
No, I don't think they are. What else do we have? We have Damned number 2.
And Damned If You Don't number 3.
Garbage Night graphic novel.
The Garbage Night Returns.
Grass Kings number 4. Hero Cats number 17. So Invader Zim number 20.
Wait, Invader Zim has a comic?
Yeah, it's from Oni Press.
Oh, that's neat.
It's been going on for a while now, almost 2 years.
Yeah, almost 20 issues.
No, exactly 20 issues at this point.
Well, when that book comes out next week.
Yes, Men of Mystery number 104. Misfit City number 2. Normandy Gold number 1. I have no idea what that's about.
About Norman?
Slasher number 2. Smurf Hardcover Volume 23, Can't Smurf Progress. SpongeBob Comics number 69, Tekken number 2, and Vague Tales gets a hardcover with a mature reader's tag on it. Those are some of the comics coming out next week. You can visit your friendly local comic book shop, or you can head over to majorspoilers.com for a complete list of next week's comics. Next week on Dueling Review,
Legion of Superheroes, Bugs Bunny Special Number 1. The Legion of Superheroes always thought they had taken their inspiration from the 21st century hero Superboy. But when they try to bring that hero into their future time, the team discovers to their surprise the Cape Champion isn't who or even what they expected. Plus a bonus Looney Tunes backup story featuring DC characters with story and art by Juan Ortiz.
You can show your support for this show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Your contributions allow us to keep this show going, pay for our growing costs, and give us motivation to produce more content for you. And when you head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers, you will get bonus material. So sign up today, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Thanks so much for checking out Dueling Review. We will talk with you next time when you will hear Matthew say,
"Drat, foiled again."
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.